Police officers have the power to take a person's life, but when they choose to use that extraordinary power often comes down to a judgment call. Now, records released under California's new police transparency law are giving the public unprecedented insight into the moments when those life and death decisions are made. Today, Alice Daniel and I will take you through a deadly force incident in the small city of Hanford. Just a note to our listeners, some of the audio is very graphic.
Two people are dead and a canine officer is recovering in the hospital after an officer-involved shooting in Kings County.
It's November 27th, 2017. ABC 30 in Fresno is reporting a story about a murder suspect who shot and killed his girlfriend in the small town of Lemoore.
The suspect was tracked down by authorities, leading to a chase and violent confrontation.
We know how that confrontation unfolded thanks to body cam and audio released by the Hanford Police Department. Officer Jeff Davis first hears a dispatch about the shooting around 3 p.m. Minutes later, he notices a blue Dodge Charger at a traffic stop. He checks the license plate numbers he's written on his hand from the BOL, or Be on the Lookout.
I put two and two together and I thought, well, this has got to be the suspect in the Lemoore shooting.
That's Davis talking to investigators later, after the confrontation ends. The driver of the blue Dodge, Juan Luis Castro, sees him and pulls around another car. Davis and several other officers pursue him, speeding along rural roads, hitting 100 miles an hour.
Okay, we got CHP about a mile in front of us. Looks like they're going to put spikes out.
Davis radios his boss, Corporal Chris Barker.
Hey, if we slow down to anything under 30, code 4 to do a pit maneuver.
Davis is hoping they'll slow down enough so he can bump Castro's car and spin it. That's a pit maneuver. They want to bring this chase to an end.
And as soon as it spun, I gave it a little bit of throttle.
Okay.
And his car spun, and I looked at him. We were just feet apart.
You guys got him. He just got pitted.
The chase ends, and here, Alice picks up the story.
Castro's car is disabled. Four other police cars pull up around him. The officers are yelling. Corporal Barker starts calling the shots.
One at a time, one at a time. Keep your hands up. Get your other one up.
Four officers have their guns pointed at Castro, who's still sitting in his Dodge Charger. They can't see if he's got a gun. The open passenger door is blocking their view. Barker tries to force Castro to show him both hands.
Crawl out. Get on the ground. You can. Do it now.
Barker's considering his options. He looks in his car trunk.
Oh, I ain't got my less lethal.
He doesn't have his less lethal beanbag shotgun. The suspect's left hand is up, but it's hard to follow his right hand.
Keep your hand where we can see it. Keep that hand up. Don't do anything. Come on. Just listen to us, all right?
An officer next to Barker asks if he should try to taser him.
I don't want to chance it.
Barker doesn't think there's a clear enough shot to taser. Castro's right hand goes down again.
Keep your hands up! Keep your hands up! Put your hand up! Put your hand up!
Castro's hands remain down, and he mumbles something about his family, how they're going to kill him. Barker is wondering how this is going to end. Here's what he tells investigators later.
This is going to go to suicide by cop or a suicide or shoot it out with us. I mean, basically saying is, I can't surrender. I can't fall to the ground.
Another minute has gone by. Castro still won't show his hands.
We don't want to do this. Put your hands up.
A less lethal option arrives. A sheriff's dog.
Canine dog. We got a canine here.
Come on, man. Just let us help you.
Castro says, just let me breathe.
Okay, we've been letting you breathe, okay?
After minutes of deadlock, Officer Davis senses a shift in Castro.
At one point, I saw the guy start breathing real heavy. And I told Chris, I said, Corporal Barker, I said, hey, this guy's starting to breathe heavy, something's gonna happen.
He may be armed, so we don't know if he's armed or not.
Now the canine starts barking. The deputy, Dakota Fosnett, is going to send his dog in.
Last chance.
Unless Castro starts cooperating. Castro doesn't move. Fosnett releases the dog. It runs at Castro, snarling. Castro's right hand finally comes out, holding a gun. He shoots at the dog. Fosnett and Barker fire back.
The guy kind of starts coming forward, and Fosnett starts shooting, and then I see the gun.
Shots fired.
I think the one that hit the dog went through the dog, then bounced up, and I heard it
okay.
Right by my ear.
K-9
Castro falls to the ground.
The gun falls out of his hand.
Everybody good? Everybody good?
He's looking at me. His eyes basically roll back in his head. And so I looks like the threat stopped. I kick the gun out of the way.
Clearing the gun. We're clear. We're clear.
Officers move in. The canine deputy still has his gun trained on Castro and checks him for a pulse. Then he remembers his dog.
Hold on.
Did you shoot my dog?
I think he got hit.
Hey, you guys want to transport his dog? Go with him to help him with his dog?
Officers holster their guns and pull on gloves to secure the scene. Castro is declared dead.
You had made reference a couple different times about being in fear for your officers, for yourself. What were you fear of?
Us going home at the end of the night, making it out alive. Suspect just killed somebody. And if he's willing to kill some random person or whoever it may be, why isn't he going to do the same thing for us? We give him plenty of opportunity to surrender, and he chose not to.
The investigation agreed with Barker, finding the shooting lawful.
Police also found that Juan Castro had earlier shot and killed his girlfriend, Danielle Dever, in her home. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Alice Daniel.
And I'm Laura Satsui. This story was edited by Suki Lewis and Alex Emsley at KQED in San Francisco. It was produced as part of a statewide media collaborative investigating newly released police documents.